kind of go through it one more time. If you have your note page, hang on to that because you can write down the points and write down all the different aspects of the points that we're going to share with you today. I had a picture and I meant to put it up this morning. I forgot to do that. I forgot to make the movie file until this morning. We always have a rotating movie file at the beginning of the service at the end. But, you know, I was thinking about this, and I actually posted it on social media. There's a picture of Ernest T. Bass. Ernest T. How many of you know who Ernest T. is, right? Everybody knows who Howard Morris is. Morris was a great TV producer. He really was back in the day. He did a lot of comedy routines. Anybody remember the Jetsons? Do you remember Judy when she was so excited about Dash Riprock or whatever his name was? But Judy, you know, he's swinging like that. Is Howard Morris. That is Ernest T. Bass singing and doing all that stuff. But on the Andy Griffith Show, you know, he'd always come into town when he's angry trying to get something he wants. What would he do?
Throw rocks.
And he, I had this picture up. And it says, 2025, I'm throwing rocks at you. Whoosh. And it's got Ernest T. holding a rock. You know, and some of you, you know, maybe 25 was kind of fun, quote unquote. You know, you had some challenges. Anybody ever had challenges before besides me? Oh, yeah. And, you know, sometimes you just got to throw a rock at it and walk away. Let it go. Amen. You don't want it to ruin your day. You want to let it go. And the purpose of just sharing this message is, you know, you got to have good routines in your life. You got to. Amen. You know, the secret of your future is really found in what your habits are. Seeking the Lord first is not a homework assignment. It's a treasure map. Amen. You know, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus told us, and I'm reading from the Passion Bible, but he says here, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from Him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. And I've been sharing with you how downhill habits do not bring you uphill results. How many of you know you do have to work hard? Well, that's going over real big today, I know. But you got to work hard. You can't just be a quitter. You have to stick to it. Amen. You know, I had somebody tell me years ago that they grabbed my, I keep picks up here in the pulpit in this little glass bowl because I will break a pick and when I'm playing my guitar, or I will lose a pick. And somebody, I believe it was Clayton, he said, he goes, I need some picks like Pastor James because they're amplified. Because I play hard, I do. And we always joked about that. And I had somebody come up to me some time ago and said, man, when you clap, it's always loud. I had somebody teach me how to clap. Amen. It's not painful. It's just you hit the right spot and it's loud. You don't have to work hard at it. And, you know, but there's a determination to do things the right way. It's called a routine. Playing my guitar, whether I break a pick or whether I keep buying them and using the same one over and over, those are good things. It's not there's something special about it. There's just I have a routine of practicing over and over and over, and that's why I can do things just like that. Amen. And that's important in life. You got to have routines that build upon the things that God has placed within you, those giftings, those talents. You know, the habits that you have really shape everything about what's next for you. Amen. Your habits will shape everything in what's next for you. But it's your consistency to do those things that will open up doors for you as well. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. Well, you got to understand your talent and your giftings are not what promotes you. It's your faithfulness to the master that promotes you. Amen. Amen? Character promotes you. Integrity promotes you. Amen. Gifting is what you've been blessed with. But it's that faithfulness of character and integrity that keep you right. I'll tell you something else. I was thinking about this week. I was on the phone with some local pastor friends of mine. We were just talking. And we were just talking about faithfulness and character. You know, Sometimes, you know, you have a lot of Mayberry people around you. You got the Clara Edwards of your life. Y'all remember Miss Clara? You remember the episode of Andy Griffith's show where they had those gossiping men? But you always have people that want to whine and complain, or that want to constantly correct and point out things. You know what? There's better things to do than that. How many of you know that to be true? Those are bad habits that will alienate you from the people that love you the most. And you don't want to do that. You want to have good routines and good habits that promote relationships. Habits that don't sentence you to just mediocrity, but actually you have habits that cause you to change over time. You know, we serve God for not the feedback or the applause. We serve Him because we love Him and we honor Him. Amen. And you know, this week when I was on the phone talking, I actually talked to my buddy Mark Johnson. He pastors here in Memphis, and he just came back from Africa. And on his way back, he got to spend time they stopped for 8 hours in Egypt, and they hired a tour guide, and they hustled through the city of the dead, and then they went. And he said that was the darkest place he'd ever been at in his life. He had cold chills driving through the city of the dead. But then all of a sudden it opened up and they saw the Sphinx and they saw all the pyramids and they rode camels and they did all this stuff. But he was talking about how God has brought him down a road to bring him to where he's at right now. And I said, well, I asked him because I wanted to hear more, and I kept asking him questions so he would talk. And one of the things I asked him, I said, well, on this trip, I go, what meant the most to you? He goes, I'll be honest with you, the guys I traveled with were much older than me. I said, okay. He goes, I was a young person back then, and I looked up to them. But in the car and on the plane, and then when we had our layovers, we would sit and have coffee together, and I would sit back and not say a word and just thank God for the relationship I have. Because it's been that relationship, Pastor James, that opened the door up for me to go on this trip. They invited me to go and preach. They invited me to go because they wanted me to stand in the pulpit they were going to stand in. And he told me, I want you to know that was the biggest honor of all. He goes, I'd have been happy just to carry their Bible. And I go, and pack their bag? He goes, oh, yeah, I carried their bags. He goes, but I felt so honored to be there, and it was because I wanted to be faithful and honor and serve. I said, did you whine and complain? He says, well, there was a couple flights I wanted to whine and complain. I go, how was the food? He goes, well, when we were in Africa, in Uganda, we went to eat. We actually stayed. The tribal leader was head over 5 million people. That's a small town, right? I go, well, where'd you eat? He goes, we actually ate in his palace. I go, was it good? He said, no. I go, what'd you have? He said, we had mush plantains. We had, what else did he say? We had chicken, and he goes, I really don't think it was chicken. And I said, well, all that stuff meant something to you. He goes, you know, I had opportunities to do other things after I graduated high school. He said, but I chose Jesus. I chose to have the routine to serve the Master. But the one thing I chose most of all was to keep my relationships forever. Do we lose relationships sometimes? Yes. Sometimes we have to have boundaries. Come on, that's good preaching. He goes, but I preserved that all my life. And today it meant the most to me to be able to ride a camel with these guys. To be able to, and there's a picture of them all together. And I kind of cried looking at the picture because I, after hearing what he said and what it meant to him, you can see it. And I'm saying all this today because the routines that you established, and I don't care how old you are, I do not care how young you are, your routines will be what predicts your future. Amen. Your routines will be what predicts your success or your failures. And I wrote this the other day. It's number 78 in the book I'm working on, chapter 78. But the four B's, the four B's. If you want to write them down, you can. But in life, you know, it's vital that you stay consistent to some real simple but profound principles. And of course, you know, staying in the Word of God's vital. Amen. Having daily time in the Word is important. It's vital. Keeping your devotional time consistent. That's apart from reading your Bible. Having a devotional time where you're studying something, whether it's Rick Renner or you got the, you know, the Sparkling Gems or some sort of devotional. I try to do things like that. I try to journal myself and write things down. But keeping your devotional time consistent is vital. Having a time of prayer and worship in your private time with the Lord is vital. I love coming and praying here at the church, but I also love praying late at night and seeking the Lord. But you know, all those things are important, but what's really important, and it's vital for good character and integrity in your life, and I call them the four B's. And this is a routine I think you ought to think about establishing in your life, because it'll help you live without regrets. The first one is be teachable. Be teachable. You know, a lot of people are smart, Alex. But like one coach said, it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. You want to be somebody great? Shut your mouth. Quit talking. Pay attention. One of the things Mark was telling me on the phone, I talked to him from the time I left church after praying till I got home for about 35 minutes, and I just let him talk. Because I wanted to hear what it meant to him, because to me it was a teachable moment. You need to be teachable. Some people have a depth of wisdom that you just don't. You may be older than them, but there's a reason they're in that position of power and you're not. Hello? You have to honor who honors, give honor to who honor is due. Hey, Brother David, how many times in the military did you have somebody that was younger than you, but they were in a position of authority? Yeah. And you know, when you're in the service, you know, you there's things they teach you about respect and honor. And it really boils down, and it's a scriptural thing to be teachable. In fact, Jesus said it the best in the Beatitudes. And these are my four B's, but one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are the meek. Do you know what meekness means? It doesn't mean you can get beat up with a 2x4. Meekness means you're teachable and not full of pride. Amen. Meekness means that you, my friend, are teachable. That you listen. That you pay attention. Otherwise, you'll be writing checks with that mouth of yours that your body ain't going to be able to cash. You have to be teachable. The second B, you need to be grateful. Everybody say grateful. Grateful. Gratefulness is different than being thankful. And my third B is be thankful. Grateful means there's a humbleness about you. Being thankful means you're quick to say thank you to people. I always try to thank our servers. You've heard me talk about this. I always try to love on our servers. Well, one of our servers at Amerigo's was telling Sally about old James. He had a boiler explode on him. He was making homemade banana pudding, and it blew up, double boiler, right? And it blew up on him. He was burned pretty bad. And we loved on him. We were in Nashville going to a concert, and he called me, and I found our number, called me, I think, on Facebook. Through Messenger, and he just said, I just wanted to tell y'all about what happened because I need you to pray for me. And I stopped him. I said, you got money? I go, you're not working, are you? He goes, I'm out of work for, 6 weeks? Yeah. And I said, James, I said, do you have a way we can send you money? He goes, well, I actually have a GoFundMe page, but that's not why I'm calling you. I go, I know that, but I want you to know. And I got real serious with him. Melissa went to pick up our food. We were at the, what do they call that place? Assembly Hall there in Nashville. And she went to pick up the food, and I said, James, son, we love you. I am grateful for your heart. And he's crying on the phone. I said, we're going to send you something. And thank God, we had money in the savings account to do that for us personally towards him. But we always try to bless him when we go out to eat. But, man, he needs to pay his rent. He needs to be able to take care of his groceries. He's taking care of his mama, who's invalid. And, he's working day and night as much as he can to be in a server. And sometimes people aren't nice. Making demands, give them a hard time. We always tease them and says, that table been good to you? They don't look like they're being nice to you. Say, oh, dear God. I said, I'll take care of you. So I made sure I tip for them just as much as I'm going to tip for them too. Listen, there's something about being grateful. There's a humbleness when you're grateful. It's a good routine to have. It's a good routine to be thankful. You know that you're quick to tell people, man, I appreciate you. Thank you for sharing that with me. That was one thing I did on the phone with Mark. Because he's sharing, pouring his heart out. You could tell, there's a couple times he'd get choked up talking about the ministry time. He goes, I'd gave anything not to stand before those thousands of people preaching because I was not qualified for that moment. I said, oh, I bet you were. And he got choked up, and just a humble heart. I said, Mark, I'm grateful for you because you love God. You love God. And I'm thankful that you have a heart to serve him all these years from being a youth pastor, going through the ranks, being an associate, serving at different churches across the state of Tennessee, back and forth. I go, that's important in life. But then the other B, and I kind of encouraged Mark about this too. I said, man, you've always been faithful, and that's why God's promoted you. For this time, this place, this moment. So I wrote all these down because they mean a lot to me, too. You need to be teachable. You need to be grateful. You need to be thankful. And you need to be faithful. There's a scripture in Psalms chapter 5 and verse 3. And it reads like this. It says, at each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life, one by one, on an altar. And I lay them out, and I wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. Isn't that powerful? At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Folks, I'm telling you all this as we're going to close this message out today. If we can. There's a price to be paid if you want to be great. And I say that again, that's something you ought to write down. There's a price to be paid for greatness. A lot of people will do it sometimes just for a little bit, and they think they're good, and then they stop doing those things. Routines are something you establish and you do not forsake. Routines, praying in the Holy Ghost is a routine that you establish and you never stop. And you do it as long as you can, as much as you can. Those are routines that bring incredible success to your life. But folks, there's a price to be paid if you want to have greatness in your life. Can you say amen? Well, as we've been sharing this with you, doctors will tell you that a habit becomes something set in your life when you repeat it over and over for 21 days. That's why at the first of the year we take this fast, this time of this fast, and we fast certain things. I have vowed ever since I came back from Mexico, I'm never going to have a soft drink ever again. Ever. Not going to do it. And it's been good. Melissa's been proud of me. drinking water like I've never drunk before. Little things. But things are important when you make those good habits. Can you say amen? You need those good habits in your life. But good habits, you know, your mother helped you establish good habits, right? Or your dad, brushing your teeth, combing your hair, pulling up your pants, changing your underwear. Have you done that today? Okay, thank you. You need those good routines in your life, you know? I always joked about this when I share these points, but my mom always said, if you don't brush your teeth will rot out of your head. Did she say that to you? She sure said that to me. Of course, she smacked me across the face when she said it, but you learned real quick, brush your teeth. You got bad breath and dog, James. Go brush them teeth. You got to take care of yourself. Amen. Well, a habit is something we do. We do this at the first of the year so you can set some routines in your life. And I told you about what a routine is, you know. Routine is a sequence of actions regularly followed. A fixed program. Something performed as a part of a regular procedure rather than for a special reason. A routine is the usual series of things that you do at a particular time. Something you do every day. A routine is also a product of regularly doing things in a fixed order. Amen. In the scriptures we gave you, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, from the New Living Bible, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. And we told you daily seeking the Lord is a routine. The Word tells us these powerful truths in the fact that Jesus told us you should abide in Him. Amen. And we read you John 15. These are in your handouts, so go back and read them today. But Jesus told us to abide in Me and I in you. The branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in Me. Important that we do some abiding. Amen. And then we shared you some scriptures that you need to think about all the time, I think, especially at the first of the year. Jeremiah 29:13, you'll seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. Those are keys there. Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face, what? Continually. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. I love that. But my favorite one this time of the year to go back over is Habakkuk 2:2. And this is from the Message Bible. I love the way this reads. It says, and God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. It doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait, because it's on its way and it will come right on time. Amen. Well, routines are important. Can't say it enough. I'm big about setting goals. Whether right now my fast consists of health goals. And I don't mind saying, some people don't want to share what they're fasting. I get that. But my fast has been health goals this year. And certain things you have to apply in your life so you have success. And that is true. Financial goals, certain things you have to apply in your life so you have success. They should be things that you know you can achieve with some time and some effort. But you set goals, you work them, you make things happen. Amen. So I'm going to run over these points real quick and get to where we stopped last week, okay? Number one, make sure you do these things here. Don't wait for motivation. Build good habits, and smart routines. So everything changed in my life when I started changing my habits. If you change your habits, everything will change in your life. Amen. In a movie, And I think Steven Spielberg made this more of a thing than anybody else ever did. But they would have meetings, and they would have a huge wall, and there would be his sketches put on this wall of scenes. George Lucas did this when he wrote Star Wars and all the other stories. He had scenes that he had envisioned. And they used that to map out a script to make what is now history that people think a lot about and build Legos about and all sorts of stuff. But a storyboard. You know, goals and routines are really the storyboard of your life. Little pictures that you've drawn, that you hold in your heart, that you're applying yourself to so you can get those things done and see increase in your life or victory in your life in those areas. But there's things that you do. Habits shape your future more than your age, your talent, or any kind of opportunity. It's the habits that you have, the routines that you have, that shape your destiny for tomorrow. Make them smart. Number two, write your dreams and goals down every day. I go back over things. I brought my legal pad in here today. I'll write down goals and things. This has been for the month of January, and I have almost marked everything off my list, and I'm going to have to tear it off and write a whole brand new set of goals because I've already hit the mark. I established some things even last night. It's what I was working on. I had my message ready, but I started doing some things that I've been intending to do for quite some time. And I kept putting it off. But you know what? It's time to do it. That coffee cup was one thing. You know, you got a four-color piece of artwork on it. I used AI to create the logo. Amen. Jehovah Java. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. And that's on the cup. And on the back of the cup, it's hashtag with coffee too. You type that in, every quote I've ever put up will come up. Amen. Well, you know, if you got dreams and things, you want to write them down. You want to be able to mark them off and flip the page of what you mark off next. And so forth and so on. Because if you write them down, you have a goal that you're shooting for that you can hit the mark and be a winner. Amen. So write down things. When I was younger, I didn't realize how important it was. But when I came to a certain age, writing those things down is what kept them alive in my heart and my mind so that I could put things in motion. Again, smart habits, smart routines creates supernatural victories. Number three. I think it's important at the end of the year or this time of the year while you're fasting, reflect before you reset. Reflect. Amen. You know, clarity gives you confidence, and confidence will get the job done because you got a vision to get it done. Reflect and reset things so you do it right. Number four, don't drag old mindsets into the new year. Sometimes people just don't want to change. What was that book? Sally, you talked about this book once, about the cheese. Who Moved My Cheese? That's a good book. Really good book. Who Moved My Cheese? Go look it up. If you're going to have something you've never had before, don't you think you need to do something you've never done before? You can't sit there and be a whiner and a complainer and not change you. Because you're the biggest problem in your life. You hear? I'm not condemning you. I'm telling you the truth. The only thing keeping you from hitting a home run is your ability to get up and practice swinging and hitting the ball. The biggest hindrance to your life is your own pride and your own selfishness.
My God, Jesus, that was good preaching. They teaching you that at Visible?
You know, you got to be willing to change something in your life if you're going to achieve the greatness that you feel like you deserve. Sometimes your attitude does nothing but get you fired. If you don't change you, you'll never get that bonus, that raise, that promotion you're believing for. If you don't change you and your old nasty habits, your routines, you're not going to be where God wants you to be because you're still doing it your way. You're keeping the old mindset and not changing you. You have to change you. Everybody say, I got to change. Amen. I mean, if you want something you've never had before, you got to do something you've never done before. Your past is a place of reference, not your house, not your residence. You can't live one way and expect things to be beautiful and awesome and full of victory if you're not doing anything to teach yourself victory. Amen. Again, everybody wants uphill results, but they refuse to change their downhill habits. Did you ever hear Rick Renner talk about wanting to climb a mountain? And how he decided he was going to do it, and he thought he was going to die as he tried to do it. You have to condition yourself. You have to work out your lungs and stuff because the air gets thinner the higher you go. When we went to Hawaii and we went up on the volcano, that was beautiful. And realizing from sea level how high it was as high as Mount, what was it, higher than Mount Everest? From sea level?
Yeah.
From sea level. And you know, there's signs everywhere, don't run. My dad, when we were on trails and stuff, we would skip down the trails, you know, and run down. You know, I about passed out on the asphalt parking lot. I couldn't breathe. I started seeing stars every step I took, and I had to stop. I think I sat down for a minute. And, you know, there's certain things you got to do to condition yourself to get to where you want to be. You got to change some things. Amen. You got to change you. That's so funny hearing Rick Renner tell that story. He's very dramatic when he tells the story. And boy, hearing him tell it, how he didn't train enough. You know, if he was ever going to do it again, he's got to train more. I can't imagine what it takes to go climb Mount Everest. I cannot imagine. But can you imagine the thrill when you finally get to the top, that you did it? I remember going up inside the Washington Monument, thought I was going to die before I got to the top. But getting to the top, looking through a little hole, it was really neat. My point is, folks, you want something you've never had before, you got to do things you've never done. Create your vision before the year begins, folks. Start writing things down. Get it done. Amen. Understand it's you being in alignment with the Lord, doing His will, doing His purpose. If you seek Him first, you prioritize your relationship with God, you'll find your life is filled with more joy and worth more because you're putting God first. Amen. Number six, start small. Whoops. Start small, but start now. Amen. Your life will turn around if you just do some simple changes. Maybe it's 10 minutes of exercise. Maybe it's 10 minutes of reading your Bible. Maybe it's 10 minutes of praying in the Holy Ghost. But you know, small steps will compound into big breakthroughs. You have to apply yourself. Everybody say, I need to apply. Amen. You know, a lot of people think something's just going to fall out of a tree and just overwhelm them and bless them. But I'm here to tell you, if you don't work hard, you don't eat. Bible says that. Amen. Even in Paul's down days, he was what? What was his job? Anybody know? Huh? Tent maker. He worked. You don't work, you don't eat. When it comes to having success in your life, you need to apply yourself. Amen. Routines establish habits that establish victory. All right? Where are we at? Number six, start small, but start now. Number seven, God honors preparation. You know, the one thing that I've learned all my life is you have to be disciplined. Because if you're disciplined, you're more focused and you're more intentional about what you're putting your hand to. And God, you know, if you can do that with stability, with a focus, God can trust you with bigger opportunities. Your habits are proof that you're ready for what's next. Good habits and good routines are proof that you're ready for what's next, and you're also ready for what you're asking Him for. You can't just speak all this stuff and expect something to happen if you're not doing things to help promote you towards those goals and things coming to pass. That's important in life. It's really a mark of maturity. All right? God honors preparation. Your habits are the proof that you're ready for what you're asking from Him. Amen. And then the last one today, number 8. We're doing good. Number 8. Don't ever underestimate what can happen in 1 year. Don't ever underestimate what can happen in 1 year. You know, the fast is over with next Sunday, right, Melissa? Yep. And we're going to have communion. And we're going to spend some time together talking about predicting your future. But don't ever underestimate what can happen in 1 year. Amen. Don't ever underestimate what God can do in 1 year. If you will apply yourself and be faithful to these things, I think you can be completely different in a completely different place 12 months from now. If you have good habits and good routines in your life, I believe, that from 12 months from now, you'll be stronger mentally, stronger spiritually, stronger financially, and stronger physically. But it all starts with how you finish this year that we're walking in, 2026. And especially how at the end of this year, you'll already be thinking about what you're going to do for 2027. Amen. You know, I think a lot of things with COVID and, well, let's go back a little further, Y2K. How much toilet paper did our mom have stored up? A closet full. Huh? Matthew is still using the toilet paper my mom saved up. My mom's in heaven now. No. Dinty more beef stew. Cans and cans and cans of stuff. I don't know what it is, how we get so consumed with theories and things. We get so consumed with things instead of focusing on Jesus being your source and your provider and your peace. But really, I think the pandemics of life, whether it was Y2K, you know, everything's going to stop. The world is going to go into panic. There'll be mass chaos and anarchy. Never happened. We had a guy at a church that I was an associate at, and he was totally convinced the world was going to end at midnight. You know, in certain parts, in some cities, the fuse circuit box is on the outside of the house. I joked around, y'all don't mess with me. But I joked not and pulled the master switch. I thought that'd be the greatest thing ever. Because they were storing up toilet paper and Dinty Moore beef stew too. And my mom was so chaotic on the phone. Oh, so filled with fear. I heard this, I heard that. You know, they said this, it's going to happen. Never happened. Total paranoia. If you will set good habits in your life, and my point was, I think we've allowed these things to change the stability of God right out of our life. We focus on a theory more than we focus on the Word. And this will be what lasts forever. But the theorist, they'll die. They'll go away. Lester Summerall said the best line, I've heard it once. I've heard it. I'll hear it again. What goes around comes around. And boys, the thing is, I'm still here. And they're not. He said this before he passed away. But he'd seen it all. This is a guy that decided he was going to go over to Smith Wigglesworth's house and serve him. What great wisdom came from Lester Summerall. And you can still watch him. Go listen to some of his teaching. It's so practical, so solid. And my point today, folks, your routines and your habits, you'll be in a completely different environment 12 months from now if you'll just start now and finish this year better than you were when you started. Good habits establish good routines. If you'll get started and get it done, set your goals for greatness, you'll make it. And, you know, don't be a wimpy Christian. Be a strong believer. Have purpose in your life. If you don't have any purpose, no vision, you'll never get there. But when you change, everything else will change in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. So let's do that today. Why don't you do this with me? Stand up on your feet and let's pray together. But I'd like for you today, when you go home, after you eat lunch, wherever you're going to eat lunch at, and maybe you're just going to go home, go to the grocery store and get something, take it home, make something, whatever you're going to do. As your pastor, I want to challenge you to do something today. You can use your note page, or like I do, I still buy legal pads, and I like to write things down. I don't know, that book, Time Management for Dummies, I found it at Sam's Club years ago, and it talks about the power of using a legal pad and writing things down, and quit changing the to-do list all the time, because you spend more time doing that than you do marking things off the list. Okay? But today, just for the Lord and for me, go home and make a list of things you know you can accomplish this year. Set some goals in tithing and giving. Set some goals in regards to your job. Maybe you're believing for a promotion. Well, what can you do to make that happen? Set some goals down in order that have to do with your spiritual life. What can you do to make that happen? We're working on printing up the Lord's Church Bible reading plan, getting it printed on a nice thing that you can start any time at any day of the year and read the Word and finish reading your Bible in 1 year. It's on my goal list. There's some things that have to do with music on my goal list. There's some things that have to do with that Red Umbrella song that I've talked about a year or so ago. Well, I pulled it out and charted the whole thing because we got to record it. And I even took AI. I love AI. It's so much fun. I created a logo for Red Umbrella. It's a red umbrella. It says blood bought, blood covered on it. It's a cool looking piece. But you know what? Set some goals today. What do you want to do? You believing for a new car? Well, what can you do to get that new car? What do you need to do to make yourself worthy of credit for a new car? It's not the man's fault. You got to apply yourself to make things happen. Amen? You can't blame other people for your not having to get up and go mojo. The buck stops with you. Starts with you. It stops with you. The buck stops here. You can't, I'd love to go get a crystal, but I can't. Not going to. Not going to do it. But praise God, I got close to a crystal. You know, last Sunday I had my first cheeseburger. But my buns, my pack of buns that cost $17. 4 carbs. So I had a cheeseburger. Instead of French fries, I had roasted carrots and a big tomato. That was the best cheeseburger I ever had. My point is, everything starts with you. Today, go home. Write some goals down. Next Sunday, I want you to bring your goals back. And when we close our fast, I'm going to bring all of you that want to come up front. We're going to lay hands on your goals. We're going to lay hands on you. And let's cross the bridge and make our dreams a reality. You with me?
Yes.
All right. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can set things in order and make things happen. Because, Lord, you've given us the ability to make and to create things in our lives. Lord, you said in the book of Deuteronomy, you gave us the power and ability to make and to create wealth. You gave us our giftings, our talents. Everything that we have in our life, our giftings and talents came from the Father of lights, as we read in the book of James. Lord, you've blessed us. You've given us vision. You've wrote things down. You set the example when you created the heavens and the earth. You had a goal. You spoke it into existence, and it was good. Lord, you taught us about setting goals, making things happen. You told us to trust in you with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding, but lean on you. Lord, we just thank you that today, as we write down goals for our businesses, for our jobs, for our spiritual life, for our financial life, towards maybe believing for our own home, not an apartment anymore, but our own home. We're going to stop paying rent this year. Whatever it is, Lord, we're going to write them down today. We're going to seek your face. And they're going to be goals that we know we can accomplish with a little bit of effort, with a little bit of push, that we can make it happen before this year is out. This year of 2026. Because, Lord, you are our God, our King, our Savior, our Lord. And, Lord, we know you've given us the power and the ability to move that mountain. And we thank you, Lord, that our faith moves our mouth and moves ourselves to write down the things that we can do so that we can get it done. And we believe you for these things right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. Hallelujah. I just believe the Holy Ghost is speaking to many of you right now about what things do you have on your heart, things you'd like to do, things you'd like to see. Maybe it's traveling. Maybe it's going someplace important to your heart. Well, you know what? There's steps you can take to get there. You can create a travel savings plan, kind of like a Christmas club, but it's for travel. Amen. You can do anything you set your mind to if you just push yourself. Change you. Change you. You change the world. Amen. So pray about it. I believe the Lord's speaking to you. Right now, things you want to see happen. Well, put feet to your faith and make it happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. If you're in here today, if you're watching online, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, boy, today's a great day to be saved. Oh, it's a great day to ask Him into your heart. If that's you, why don't you ask Him right now? Amen. Ask Him into your heart. Ask Him. He's faithful and just to forgive you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're watching today and you've maybe backslidden your heart, maybe you're not living for the Lord like you should, oh, all you got to do is ask Him to forgive you. He's faithful to forgive you. Amen. Maybe you've never asked Him into your heart. Well, let's fix all that right now. We're all going to pray together. Church, I want you to pray out loud with me because we're going to be praying for those that are praying this as well. And you're an encouragement to them. So pray with me. If this is you, you pray out loud too in faith. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that you sent your only Son, Jesus, who bled, who died for me, and was raised from the dead. Jesus, I ask you, save me. Come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live all of my life for you. Thank you for delivering me. And I thank you that I am born again right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, send us an email. We would love to send you a Bible and a book about the new birth and a book about what it means.